Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
So, Gail, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, we can talk.
All right. It looks like Lynn is saying she's hearing us. We don't hear her. Well, let's go ahead and begin. Welcome, everyone. It is the Brown Briefly. It is Tuesday, May 17th. I am Gail Kellner. I'm a poet, writer, artist, former educator, and author of the recently released novel, Hope, A History of the Future. It was, there was an article about the book in the Beachcomber this week. Perhaps a few of you out there saw that. I envision a peaceful, just, verdant future world that could arise out of today's crises. I am your host for today's program. It looks like we're having some technical abilities, but I see a briefly or two wandering about. So let's check in this morning with Kevin Jones. Kevin Jones is our Clark Kent impersonator, citizen activist, retired rocket scientist, and leader of Indivisible Vachon. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Gail. Pleased to be here, Voice of Vachon, and thank you for the getting everything hooked up, all the cables. I know that Lynn is working to make sure that we're getting our voices out there. Bruce is planning to join us, but needs to be let into the Zoom room. So I just thought I'd pass that along if somebody can also help attend to that. But good to be here this morning.
Great. And Robbie, are you listening in? Or are you joining us officially?
I am listening in and glad to be doing so. Thank you.
But can anyone hear me?
Yes. I can hear you, Molly.
No. Yes. No, I asked that. Can anyone hear me there?
Yes. We can hear you, Molly.
She's on the other mic. Can you hear me now?
No, yes, I can. Well, I don't know if I'm hearing you through that mic or through the other mic, but.
Okay. Well, we're halfway ready to go.
Okay. Well, I see you there, Lynn. All right. Robbie, can I ask you just to introduce Robbie a bit? So Robbie, that you feel welcome just to add a comment here or there after a brief introduction. And that way I think, you can be both audience and participant at your choice, okay? Thank you, Kevin. Will you do that for us, please?
Yeah, we're trying out some new concepts here on the Brown Briefly. Never one to let moss grow under our feet. So we have invited some friends to sit in on Zoom, and Robbie has decided to join us today to kind of see what looks like under the hood, so to speak, of the Brown Briefly. So happy to have Robbie as an observer, and I'm looking for her keen assessment after the show of what she thought. And this is a great example today because we're in scramble mode.
Well, under the hood is right, and what you see under there are some gerbils running on some small wheels trying to get on Zoom. All right, I see Bruce Holman on my screen. Bruce, are you, can you hear me?
Yes, I was finally let in, so I'm here.
Yes, someone unlocked the doors. Basically, we're going to take a ride around the block in the old car. In this old car, that's right.
Much harder to knock on the door when it's on Zoom.
We take turns in the driver's seat. Occasionally someone rides in the trunk, but mostly we pack in and have a conversation for 46 minutes around local, state, national news and nonsense. So I want to welcome Bruce Holman. He is a professor of history, president of the Vachon Maury Island Historical Society, and he is fondly known here at the Briefly as the Guardian of the Galaxy. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Actually, the sun is shining today, so it's an amazing day. And today there's a minus 4.3 tide, so it's a low tide today. So it's 12:15. So make it to the beaches.
All right. Lynn wants to say something, and Kevin.
I'm just doing a sound check with Truman, who's listening on speakerphone, and we've changed mics. So apparently, my first mic didn't work. So here we go.
Okay, Kevin, go ahead.
Okay, well, very good. Bruce, I have to ask, what was going through your mind? I mean, we're always get on Zoom, right? We get that the host is going to let you in soon, and we're wondering, you know, what's going on? Because you don't get any visibility. You know, you haven't done anything bad, right? I mean, you're all good standing with the Brown Briefleys.
Or so you thought.
Exactly. You're never quite sure.
Okay, so let's just acknowledge that we're all good and happy to be here.
Well, it's a little trick to engineer because I can't get people in while I'm trying to figure out how to get sound for many of us. So sorry, Bruce, you fell into a lower priority for a few minutes, but we're good to go. And thanks, Truman and Molly.
And that is the voice of Lynn Kerrigan. She's the co-pilot, Truman's co-pilot. We call him Captain of the Airways, so we'll call you the co-pilot of the Airways. Lynn is a musician, poet, former UW professor, bicoastal transplant from Georgia. Her alter ego is the goddess Athena, so watch out.
That's watch right. Out you know Lynn. Who you are.
Welcome, all right, we're gonna start our conversation this morning with local happenings, announcements, wildlife, and wild weather. So what have you all seen, heard, experienced, or paying attention to on the local front?
Well, Ellisport, the ospreys are back. So it's great to watch them fishing. And great to watch them sort of being harassed by the eagles and the crows. But it's amazing time right now to watch the beach and to watch the waterfront, to watch it coming alive to a whole set, new set of wildlife, new set of birds. And so there's a certain kind of balance when the ospreys and the eagles and the crows and the seagulls are all sort of operating on the KVI beach. So things are good with the world.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah. The furry critters are making a show at our place. I was out doing a little work in the barn and around the corner dashes something that was brown and furry and saw me and took an immediate turn into the barn door, whence it disappeared, who knows where, into all kinds of wood piles and what have you out there. But the other thing is that's really great is the chipmunks are now making their reappearance. And, you know, of all the furry critters, I think Disney was wise to whoever, did Disney do Alvin and the Chipmunks? whoever did Alvin and the Chipmunks was wise to pick that particular one of our creatures because, you know, they're adorable no matter what they're doing. It's sort of amazing. So anyway, always happy to see the furry folks come out and show off.
Great. And Lynn, how about you?
Oh man, I was out watering my brand new grass.
That is magical. What a treasure. I love all these stories. They remind me of stories of my own over the years. And I'll just share a couple quick ones. Once I was building some trails up in the woods behind the house in the ravine, and there were two baby fawns, and I wasn't making much noise, but just rustling in the bushes, and I was by myself, and these two baby fawns just were so curious. They came right up to me, and they were within a foot and a half, 2 feet away, just looking at me, and their mother is in the background stomping her foot and kind of making a huffing sound like, no, don't. This isn't an idea. Come back. They were so curious.
That's right.
Their ears to...
there's just music coming across the airways.
Okay. Let's go forward, shall we, Bruce?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You agree? And we'll talk to ourselves. We'll do our usual show. And if it airs and it cuts in, fine. If it doesn't, well, it'll be nice to chat. In any case, Robbie will get a chance to get a feel for how the conversation rolls. So that's worthy in its own regard.
Let's go forward.
Okay.
We're back.
I can hear that. All right. Here we are then. Okay. Kevin, you have a local happening or an announcement that you are paying attention to.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback on your discussion about the fawns frolicking because I have to tell a story. I was out in the Olympic Mountains in a place called Royal Basin, which is quite a ways from almost anywhere in the Olympics. And once you go up into Royal Basin, you go past Royal Lake and climb another 500 vertical feet or so, And you get into very open terrain, including this big, big field of heather. And as I'm standing there admiring the scenery, off on the very far distance of this quite large, like a football field sized opening in the alpine, there's two small deer. And the joy that they had, it was a beautiful day, sun was shining, you know, it's early in the season. So I think that the snow had probably melted out fairly recently. And they were romping back and forth, chasing each other across this meadow. And then they saw me. And they came at me full tilt, probably curious, what is this thing? And coming up to check me out. And I was like thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. So I was sort of in a defensive posture. And they got within, I don't know, 20 feet of me and stopped and looked and realized I wasn't a playmate for them. And so off they ran back and forth again. It was a beautiful show for, I don't know, I sat there for 5-6 minutes watching them romp around.
Well, that's fantastic. One of the many pleasures of living here in the Northwest is the relatively abundant wildlife that we share it with. That certainly warms my heart. Okay, well, if we don't have any other announcements, let's talk a little bit about the gathering on the corners of downtown Vashon on Saturday. Kevin, you want to I know you were part of that. Can and at least shared with announcements and some of the organizing, I understand.
I was there. Indivisible Vashon heard through the grapevine, I think known as Facebook, that an event was occurring. And I think it was Tammy Brockway Joyce, I believe, was one of the organizers. And I believe that she may have had a co-organizer. And I really don't, frankly, know all the folks. But when we heard about it, we contacted, one of my colleagues contacted Tammy and said, we would like to help make sure that we spread the word. And so that happened. And I didn't count folks, but I'm thinking there was at least 100 people in town, maybe towards 120 or 30 for a couple hours. Many flyers got handed out to passersby about actions people could take to support women's reproductive rights and the other benefits we have over the years accumulated, right, for because of progressive policies that have gone in place, which are so important to so many people.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kevin. Did anyone else happen to attend or see it? I happened to be driving through.
Yay!
It was my birthday, so I was on my way to a birthday lunch, but. Honked my horn and waved in support of women's right to control their own body. For me, that is the big issue at stake here, is that no government, certainly no patriarchal government, has any right to be telling women what they can and cannot do with their own bodies. It is not appropriate, in my view. And I know that many people... this is an issue that there's a lot of emotion around, and it's not that I don't think is pro-abortion. That's not the point. The point is that we are pro women controlling their own bodies, making their own choices. And it looks like Lynn's leaning forward in a thoughtful pose. What do you got for us,
Lynn? I've just been thinking, you know, I've been preparing my burqa. You know, I've been making a little slit in the eyes and, you know, preparing not to be seen at all. You know, there's COVID that's driven us inside, and now there are people who would go back to women belong in the kitchen and raising them babies. So I'm preparing my burqa, and I think we should all send burqas to every member of the House and Senate.
I'm thinking some days when I haven't gotten around to washing my hair and brushing it and getting fixed up, wouldn't it be handy to have a burqa just to go into town? And you'd be able to get through the grocery store so much more quickly, because you wouldn't run into 15 people that you know.
It's really not a laughing matter. I have to laugh now and then, because this is a battle. You know, I've been fighting for 30 years. I started my career with Planned Parenthood in Connecticut, and I will say again, because the facts have not really come out about this history, But that was right during the time when New York did a demonstration project about legalizing abortion and relaxing all of their rules and studying what the outcomes were in terms of parent bonding and children thriving and in terms of, you know, mothers being happier if they didn't have to bear a child that they didn't want, especially if it was in terms of rape or incest or something like that. You know, I think people have the idea that it's just people don't feel like having a baby right then. And I went on to work at a family planning clinic, which did all manner of birth control for men and women, including ending pregnancies up through the second trimester, which disturbed me a little bit, but you know, the laws allowed it at the time. And I have listened to many stories of people being pregnant and ending up in those offices, sobbing, most of them all the time, and agonizing over this kind of a choice. No one likes this kind of a choice. But the idea that we've come out of the rights, the civil rights era, and now we're kind of back to where we started in regard to women's rights, just boggles my mind. I can hardly imagine the conditions that have led up to this, and I'm ashamed of America being, you know, going backwards.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
So we spent a couple hours with largely a group of women whose rights are being threatened. Men can learn a lot, and I recommend it. I talked with a woman who had a bin called Shout Your Abortion, and I believe her name was Britt, if I recall. Her daughter started Shout Your Abortion, and the idea that so many people are affected with this decision of terminating a pregnancy, and their stories are stories of how we as humans in our world now survive and are able to thrive, and not only ourselves, but those we bring into the world. And the idea that those are stories that need to be told, and that those need to be on the stage with all the other stories that we hear all the time about when does life start, and you know, what are the rules and regulations, and what are the religious implications of these decisions. There's more to the story that needs to be heard. And so you can probably find Shout Your Abortion. I haven't looked it up, but those are some of the stories that I heard on Saturday. And I think it's important to understand what those stories are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just authoritarianism to me in another form has come roaring back. I feel like it has to be some result of all the stress and strain we've been on, and the evangelical community having decided that was going to be their political point. And it's sorrowful to me. And I've been listening to a lot of the Planned Parenthood preparations in Washington State for helping Idaho out, which, you know, will have a very severe set of laws. And, you know, I think to be back in some area where some states will have back alley abortions happening, and they will be happening. They're not going to stop abortions. They're only stopping legal abortions, and they're really only stopping them for poor people. And if this is the war against the black and brown people so they don't, what, swarm up and vote out the Republicans, I think they have underestimated the fight they're going to have on their hands for women who have really been able to get educated, able to get jobs in the workforce, able to participate fully in American society. And I don't think we want to go back to those dark days.
Thank you for that, Lynn. Appreciate your wisdom and experience on this issue. Anyone else will have something they'd like to share on that?
Well, I'll just jump in and say shoutyourabortion.com is online, and people can look at those resources and the actions that people can take. I also want to say, I think that our listeners know full well that this is just one of many, many rights that are based on privacy considerations. and that removing that underlying foundation and that structure causes potentially many, many other rights to be at threat. Contraception, who we choose to marry. And I forget the list. I'm sure that it's much, much longer than I could recite. But this is a historic moment if it goes forward, and definitely an indicator of some of the changes that that I know Bruce likes to bring to our attention. So something to watch, and many historic moments in the last 2 years that we've experienced.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Let's move on a little bit. We can always circle back around if someone has something more on that. We just ended this, the state legislative session ended not too long ago. And I think many Islanders received some notices kind of telling us what happened during this session. This was one I received for the 34th Legislative District, was one from Eileen Cody. And I also received one from Joe Nigan. It was really interesting reading these. Wow. I just had so much pride in our Washington State Legislature for what they do and what they attempt to do. In the one that Joe Nigan sent out, it had 34 different accomplishments and that they had done in a relatively short time. And there were many things on here, too many to name, but I'm just going to just give a few examples. They passed a $16.9 billion transportation package in Move Ahead Washington. I find that a really interesting. The Move Ahead Washington organization is doing things like funding ferries, elevating climate action. One of the things that affected us, and that was that now kids 18 and under ride to the ferry and transit free. I didn't know that. So that is something new that's happened. The expansion of broad-based internet access, money, temporary assistance for needy families was up. They increased that by 15%. The support for that, they provided support for renters, homeowners, and landlords, established an Office of Firearm Violence Prevention, which is really on the top of our minds with the events that happened over the weekend. Kevin, have there been some things you've been watching in this last state session? Accomplishments that you're particularly like to point out?
You mentioned the transportation arrangement, and that was an issue that is really a carryover from the prior session, where conservatives and progressives had pretty much arrived at a standoff about how to deal with transportation needs. On the one side, the concern about conventional transportation with more freeway lanes, more available, more access for polluting vehicles, internal combustion engine cars, was not viewed as the way to go. Whereas conservatives said, that's the game plan. That's what we've always done. And there was a little bit of brinksmanship that came up in the session about trading off a transportation package for some environmental successes, which never ended up getting result. And so fortunately, I think we see now the work that's happened behind the scenes, and the package of transportation and the budget that goes along with it is not only certainly will have to address, some of the freeway congestion, those other issues, but it also provides a lot of multimodal alternative transportation in terms of walking and bike lanes and so on. For us on Vashon, transportation is such a huge and challenging issue. You're in this, what I've heard many people call a semi-rural environment. What it means for me is it's a 2-hour walk to town, assuming that I can take the trails, which are shorter than the roads. So, there is the challenge we have here on Vashon also to face. I don't know how much of that budget may be helpful for us locally, but across the region, it's definitely a major step forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it looked like it included, in what I've read between the two of them, it included money for some of these electric charging stations for funding for those, which I'm very interested in seeing that infrastructure be built. Living down here in Milwaukee, and I'm waiting to get an electric vehicle till I need somewhere to be able to charge it. So that's a big piece for me. Anyone else paying any attention to anything on the state level they'd like to?
I mean, from my perspective, the most important takeaway is that Washington State is really preparing itself for an America in which states' rights comes to dominate national rights. And the abortion issue is just one of them. The Supreme Court's considering a number of issues that are going to have national implications, in which states are going to become the bulwark against the sort of conservative push to restrict rights, to restrict individuals, to restrict choices of all kind, not just reproductive choices. And so what I see Washington State positioning itself as, and I think this is forward-looking, is we're going to be living in an America where Washington State is a refuge for large numbers of people in the Midwest and in the Intermountain West. And so California, Oregon, Washington are going to be the refuge states. A little bit of the concept of what you see in the Margaret Atwood novels, sort of like the Handmaid's Tale sort of thing, America fracturing, not in the way that she portrays it, but in a similar kind of way, with a large Midwestern sort of intermountain, very conservative, very repressive kind of authoritarian states, surrounded on the extremes, on the outsides, by very liberal states. And it's going to be a destructive period for American democracy. And so I look very favorably at what the governor is doing, the legislature is doing, to sort of position Washington State to be that sort of beacon of freedom in a country that's continually turning to the darker side of democracy, or what was democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lynn.
Bruce, I have another question for you. The other thing that I worry about so much, because I think it is so spreadable, regardless of what the states are trying to do, is the erosion of the separation of church and state. I'm really flummoxed at how people don't see that as strong an ideal for Christians as the issue of, the beginning of life and how to live your life is. I thought we formed this country in order to prevent any one particular religion from dominating and telling other sects, other beliefs, other traditions what to do. And it was the bulwark of, our Renaissance and our formation. And what do you think, Bruce, about that whole movement to ignore the separation of church and state as it's sort of briefly mentioned in the Constitution? It's not very heavily emphasized, but it's...
No, but in the First Amendment, and that's really, to me, the crux of what the issue is. It's sort of these competing rights. The rights of free speech trump the rights of, to use a term, do the rights of free speech override the rights of freedom of religion? Do the rights of religion override the rights of carrying arms? It's that kind of competing rights, and what we've had in the past is a legislative and Supreme Court structure that has not always successfully and not always in the best interest of everyone sort of mediated those concerns. And right now, I see a very, very conservative court that's sort of reading the Constitution, despite their claims of being originalist, but reading it through their own eyes of religion and of conservative sort of politics. And so we're seeing, like you said earlier, it's a turning point, it's a historic moment. We're seeing that convergence, of these competing rights into a conflict of sorts, and whether it will end up being a civil war type conflict or whether it will be the kind of conflict that we saw at the late 19th and early 20th century, where there were lots of violent eruptions throughout the country, or even in the 1960s with the civil rights movement and sort of the movement toward expanding rights. It's never been done peacefully in the United States. And so we're in for, as the movie said, buckle your seatbelts. We're mm-hmm. in for a rough ride.
Mm-hmm. Boy, aren't we? All right. As everyone is aware of at this point, you know, there's a terrible race-motivated shooting in Buffalo, New York, and over the weekend. And there was very little I could find to say about it to add to that conversation. But I often turn to poetry when I am at a loss for words. And John Donne, who was a poet of the late 1500s, early 1600s, wrote this, and I'll just share that. And then if there's any other comments about what happened, I'd be happy to field those. No man is an island entire of itself. Excuse me. Each man's death, no man is an island entire of itself. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that's just a section of the longer poem. But I'm just reminded when these things happen that it is a loss for all of us, of the individuals, but of our sense of safety, of our sense of inclusion. A lot of things, these shootings kill more than people. They kill a sense of unity and safety and a sense that we all belong. And I'm very deeply disturbed by that, as I'm sure many others are. Does anyone like to comment on that?
Well, I was impressed with Biden's comments this morning, you know, about racism and about white nationalism. And I think, you know, what has to happen, and it's, we're starting to slowly see it happening, despite, you know, sort of conservative and Republican reluctance, but to take on the authoritarians, take on the racist, take on the white nationalist, and to say, that's not who we are. Unless enough people are willing to stand up and say that and go to the voting booth and vote that, we're going down a very dark path. I'm just hoping the Democrats develop the cojones to get up and say that and say it forcefully, and make the elections about that, about racism, about white nationalism, about taking away individual rights, about LGBTQ rights, women's rights, ethnic and minority rights. If that's not what we're about, we're not the country I want to live in. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. All right. We have just another
five. Yeah, I'll jump in, Gail, with some additional thoughts on that. There's a lot of justifiable frustration around the non-movement on this issue. Although in our state legislature, you may have mentioned that, I might have missed, restrictions on large magazines, gun ammunition magazines in the state of Washington. So, you know, our progressive lawmakers are listening and taking steps that they can take. This, we need to, I think, be very aware that while we hear about this thing that happened over there, we hear there's actually in Southern California, right, another similar, both not only shootings, but also likely hate crime affiliations. Certainly the Buffalo, New York case looks very clearly motivated by hate crimes. And this topic actually came up at the Vashon Maury Island Community Council last night. And people expressed how they're doing relative to what we're seeing in these other areas, and pointing out that we have also, unfortunately, local incidents that portray the same type of thinking and the same type of mindset. And so it is not an abstraction by any means. And I don't mean to suggest that people thought that it is, but people might not be aware that we have an opportunity right here where we live to also address these challenges in our communities and to establish what it is that we believe is how we should all work together in our community, and how humankind, as you mentioned, is something that we need to be practicing in a not just a quiet way, but in a visible and a vocal way. And I think that the community council leadership was very compelled to make sure that this topic is added to the agenda for their meeting in June, to make sure that we don't lose sight of locally some of the threats that we're seeing, not as dramatic nearly as mass shootings, but a lot of the same attributes that have happened recently in a couple of incidents. So there's a way to have your voice heard and to be more aware of what's going on, and hopefully some things that we can do. One individual in particular talked about protections that they had experienced living in other areas that don't exist here on Vashon Mori Islands. Perhaps we've thought that they're not needed, and perhaps we need to rethink that. So I'm optimistic that there's hope locally to be more aware and to be more oriented towards being with eyes open and taking clear actions to help remove some of the hate that that is contained in these other incidents.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Kevin. Go ahead, Lynn.
And I'll just add a quick note to say I think that we are in a battle about principles. You know, are we going to be in a world that just tries to win at any cost and will say anything and do anything and deceive just to be in power? Or are we able to grasp the thin thread of rationality and principle that holds us together on the side of goodwill and on the side of, you know, the great ideals that America was formed under? I'm a big idealist, and I think that we have more to do to defend those ideals and look forward to more opportunities to do that. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Lynn. Well, it looks like we have rounded the corner on our with 1 minute left. So I'd like to thank the Brieflies for gathering today, and Lynn for persevering through a stressful moment there in our opening to get all the technology lined up. Thank you, Robbie, for listening in. We look forward to hearing from you in the weeks to come. And I wish you all a happy week.